from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
No comment. Right now, I'm just, you know, focused on pitching for the White Sox.
Have you been worn out by, you know, my questions, some others about this going on for, you know, the last month? Does it get to you to the point where you just have to block it out?
Yes.
Now you just can't leave.
The trade deadline has come and gone. Good time for us to announce that we have Jed Hoyer on the show tomorrow at 4 o'clock. And trade deadline coverage on The Score is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. I'd say the biggest local story is that Garrett Crochet was not traded, because that's one of the biggest stories in baseball, given how much of a seller's market it was for starting pitching. And he was going to be traded, and then the request came out that he wouldn't pitch in the postseason without a contract extension. That upset Chris Getz and changed everything.
I agree. I would add Luis Robert Jr. to the mix, even though it became apparent in recent days that it wasn't going to happen, because that conversation, would you trade a 5-tool center fielder who had a great season as recently as last year? Would you trade a seeming ace in the making? Those conversations dominated a lot of baseball talk over the last couple of months. But they never found enough of a taker for Robert. Apparently, his market was very overstated. Saw that report earlier today. Other than the Phillies' initial interest, very few were interested in Robert. And then Crochet, as you say, really controlled his own market. And he controlled his own market to a point that the Dodgers eventually pivoted. We got that news within the last 7 minutes, that back-to-back came the reports, Garrett Crochet will not be traded, comma, Dodgers trade for Jack Flaherty of the Detroit Tigers. And Flaherty was scratched from his start last night, was clearly the best starter still on the market as of today, once Tarik Skubal's name had kind of quieted down. So Crochet was probably going to be a Dodger if they had not been freaked out by the need for a contract extension or the refusal to go to the bullpen.
We've got a pretty hilarious response also that we'll get to in about 10 minutes from Pedro Grifol to your and Shane's report about Pedro Grifol's addressing of the team after the All-Star break and a fracture in the White Sox clubhouse over his comments. But
that's good. So that was today. We've got a response right away today from,
yes,
Pedro Grifol.
From him pregame. He was asked about it by the assembled media. We'll play that coming up in about 10 minutes. On the Cubs side, I really thought the Morel trade was creative. Nobody saw that coming. You upgraded at Morel's position of weakness at third base. You gave yourself infield versatility with Paredes as a defensive player. He's an all-star. He hits for power. He's a professional at bat. Like, you got a better bat than Morel and a better defender, even if the upside isn't quite as high. But Paredes made an all-star team this year, and I thought it was a really, really creative trade. Like, you're not worse by adding Paredes for Morel. You're actually better, but it is a trade for the future.
Well, I think that trade was exactly what Jed Hoyer had talked about, while also shuffling the mix. It was a buy. It was a buy for more than just this year. You've got Paredes under control for 25, 26, and 27.
So
it's about that, and it's a higher floor of a third baseman, higher floor of a hitter. Paredes is a
better player.
Oh, is a much better player and a better overall hitter. And so I don't know if the ceiling is higher for Morel. I mean, the power seems special, but if that's all there is in a one dimensional swing, and he never really develops some of the other stuff, then I don't know what you're going to end up looking at. Maybe Tampa Bay will figure something out.
I mean, they're playing him at second tonight.
Yes.
He had stretches where we talked about it all year. Walk percentage up, strikeout percentage down, mm-hmm. had bad luck at the beginning of the year.
If you had to bet on wins above replacement, or we could just do offense if you want, because wins above replacement will be a blowout for Paredes over Morel because of the defense.
Because of the defense, yeah.
And it has been since the beginning of 22.
OPS plus next 3 years, yep. Morel v. Paredes.
That's exactly where I'm going. OPS plus... Isaac Paredes, versus Christopher Morel next 3 years. Morel in Tampa or wherever they send him if they don't keep him, and Paredes here or wherever the Cubs send him if they don't keep him. I would take Paredes.
I'd put Paredes as a small favorite. I'd put him at like minus 150.
Well, what's interesting to me is that, you take advantage if you're the Cubs of Tampa Bay's need to be a slave to the contract timeline. You know, Paredes is only making, I think it's 3.4 mil this year, but they're buying an extra few years of control and they don't have to. Paredes is going to make a lot more next year. And the year
right,
after
and his
that.
ARB years. And they get a couple of prospects
to
go with it. So they get more guys that they can get into their system and develop. But and then the lighter trade I like too, because 33-year-old relief pitcher, not terribly valuable on a team that isn't going anywhere. And, you know, you get a couple of pieces back, including Jack Neely, who's a 6'8 reliever who's apparently ready for the big leagues right now. So you get another guy that you can throw into the bullpen right now if you want to. You know I love tall relievers, but I find myself like, why is Drew Smyly here? Talkman still here? I guess I would have thought they would have done a little more. Tyone doesn't surprise me that much, though I think given this market for starting pitching and that he could easily have an ERA in the mid-fours next year, that there's no guarantee that Tyone's going to be great, even though he has been recently, and I like him as a dude. But I thought that both of the trades made a ton of sense and were pretty creative, but I am just surprised that there aren't more pieces going away.
Well, Smyly makes a lot. Smyly makes, I think it's $10 million this year for Drew Smyly. I'm going down to it right here. It's 10 mil this year, or 10.5, and next year it's 10 mil as well. So that's comparatively... a decent amount. So I'm not sure how much they wanted to hang on to him or how much people were just like, yeah, I'm good. Talkman still has two more ARB years eligible. Like, if you consider yourself a viable contender, and you know they do, Talkman can be a very solid fourth outfielder to have around.
I agree with you.
You're hoping Bellinger opts out. PCA can be your starter. Talkman can be your fourth outfielder. And
you're hoping Bellinger. That's a big hope, right?
I know.
I mean, he's back in the lineup finally tonight. That's a big hope.
Yeah. I hear you. I find myself looking at the bigger ticket items. You bring up Tyone, and that's a guy who's making, 18 mil next year and 18 mil the year after that. But Hendricks's money is coming off the books. I'm glad they didn't trade Nico. Some people thought maybe they should have, but 11.5 next year and 12 mil after that. You do hope that Bellinger, opts out, but because you'll have to pay Paredes, obviously more. He might double up to like 8 or 9 mil or something like that. But Hendricks's money coming off, and the fact that a lot of your good pitchers are still young enough that you don't have to pay them too much, like Steele, means that there is going to be some room, even just before that first level of the CBT. And maybe this will be an offseason where they go over that first level of the CBT. There's certainly going to be a big call for that, for aggression in this offseason, to not just hang around underneath that first level with, if we're good, we'll add at the deadline again. There's going to be a big call for aggression this offseason, and it's going to be warranted.
Yeah, they just... They need to be aggressive. There's going to be a ton of pressure on Jed. There'll be a ton of pressure on Council. They brought back largely the same team, right? That's what people kept talking about. They brought back a very similar team from last year to this year, with the exception of Bush, who's been good, Shota, who's been excellent, and Council. You've now traded a relief pitcher. You're not in Morel. You haven't done much. You know that there's not. You haven't done the big shakeup yet. I'm sure they weren't offering anything for Neris of substance.
Who's the best offensive player to change hands at the deadline, and where does Isaac Paredes rank among the offensive players to change hands? Randy Arozarena goes to Seattle. Justin Turner goes to Seattle. Both of them having down years. Turner with more of a track record, but the best offensive player with like multiple years of control. I mean, Paredes is a real bat. That is a big change up to your lineup.
He's hitting fifth tonight.
Yeah, that's
all star this year
with 3 years of control. I mean that's a big shake up to your lineup diversification that deserves some applause as we look around and see the change in the mix. Now they'll still need slug. For sure, and they'll have to go out and look at free agents and buy it, but that's a pretty significant addition. One thing I want to say about Leiter, by the way, it bums me out because Leiter is like a total Pitch Lab success story, a complete just like scrap heap guy, journeyman, who they figure out, they teach him a splitter, transforms him. Now he dominates lefties. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
It's a massive success story. Just like Scott Efros was a Pitch Lab success story. And so now
it'd be nice if those guys could be Pitch Lab success stories on good teams.
For
And pitch in big moments as opposed to hitting the reset button and now hoping that this guy Neely becomes a Pitch Lab success story.
It'd be nice if you had confidence in the Cubs to do that again and again and again. They clearly had confidence in themselves to do that, and it's the name of baseball. I mean, Tampa Bay does it. You know, a lot of these good teams do it. I'd like to have confidence that the Cubs can do it. The Jeremiah Estrada thing bums me the hell out. That's a bad data point for that kind of thing.
Yep.
Leiter's a successful one. Efros is a successful one. I don't know exactly what they've done with Tyson Miller, but to go from DFA to as solid as that dude has been, I don't know how much of that is happenstance and how much of that is Cub change, but they're going to have to do it again. And, it'll be interesting to see whether they'll spend money on the bullpen or they'll feel good about the bullpen's progress since it's been so good since the 1st of June. But how I feel about the Leiter trade is directly related to how I feel about the Pitch Lab and their ability to succeed.
That makes a ton of sense. You were out last Friday when a lot of the Crochet contract extension demand stuff was breaking, and then I was out yesterday. So we haven't really had a chance to talk about this. I said on Friday, I was like, man, I bet you Getz is pissed about this because they clearly wanted to trade him, and this is going to really complicate it. I still expected him to get dealt today. Whether it was Crochet's agent who leaked this, or it was another team that leaked it to try to drive down the price, Getz, to his credit, did not take 70 cents on the dollar on Crochet. He held out for a huge asking price. It wasn't met. It seems like it wasn't met because of this monetary thing. I won't pitch in the postseason without a contract extension. Teams were like, no, if I'm trading for this guy, I want to get him for this year and two more years where he's cheap. This isn't the NBA. This isn't the NFL. We're not doing that for this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine. Is it too doomsday of me to say that I would now just be terrified if I'm the White Sox of every start he makes the rest of this year? Because they clearly are not an org that's going to give a nine-figure contract to a pitcher, which means they clearly are going to try to trade him in the offseason.
Yeah, you might see a shutdown within the next 2 weeks.
But if you shut him down in the next 2 weeks, the same question of, hey, can this guy survive a full season as a starter and then pitch into October will exist. Like you want,
but he's already a far exceeded anything he's ever done, and far exceeded their expectations.
I know, but it's a balancing act of you don't want to be too soft with the guy because you want to build up his trade value, and you don't want to scare other teams away to think, oh my God, they shut him down at this number. But every time you pitch him, you risk a shoulder or another Tommy John situation, and then you submarine his value in the offseason. It's a very interesting game of chicken when he's going to be pitching in the definition of meaningless games.
And we add to that the fractured relationship after Chris Getz refers to his actions as hurtful yesterday. And the fact that,
you know, a bit hurtful.
Garrett Crochet successfully controlled his own value to the point that he took himself away from the Dodgers, took prospects out of the White Sox pocket, and left himself here with a team that is hurt and or pissed at him. So, yeah, that's going to be an interesting dynamic. Go ahead and pitch, Garrett. Go ahead. We need to prove your value. Now, after babying him over the last few weeks, a four-inning start, I think there was a three-inning start in there as they were trying to protect his value and maybe under the guise of protecting him. Yeah, these can be difficult things to navigate. And the way they've navigated up to the deadline is not how I'd expect it to be navigated post-deadline. That's for sure. That's interesting.
It's a real, because they've got to be pissed. They traded a bunch today. They traded a bunch today and yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't trade the blue chip guy. And, you know, I'm not a...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Prospect expert by any means, but all of these people say, oh my God, the Blue Jays pitcher, look at what he got. Look at what they gave up for Flaherty. Look what the Orioles gave up for whatever that guy's name.
Orioles gave up a lot for a reliever. The Padres gave up a lot for a reliever, both way more than Sox got for Kopech, but Kopech's got a very high ERA.
No, it was a seller's market for pitching.
Mm-hmm.
There were not a ton of big bats that were traded, but it was a seller's market for pitching. The White Sox wanted to sell an all-star pitcher, and they couldn't because of an 11th hour change, and now they're going to be playing this game of chicken.
Yeah,
but
is Jorge Soler the best offensive player to be traded? $13 million for next year and $13 million in 2026. So the Braves picked up Soler and have him for 3 years. I didn't realize that. Wow, it's a lot of money that the Braves picked up. Because, again, I think Paredes might be the most – with contract – And everything, you know, under the umbrella, I think Paredes might be the most valuable position player that has moved, and the Cubs got him.
We'll talk to Jed Hoyer about all of this tomorrow at 4 o'clock. You guys kind of teamed up on a report of dysfunction in the White Sox clubhouse after Pedro Grifols' address to the team coming out of the All-Star break.
Yeah, can summarize that Pedro Grifols addressed the team on the first before the first game after the All-Star break and tried to put a chip on their shoulder, trying to motivate them, put the fear of God into them as a manager, said that the players would be remembered as the worst team in baseball if this team gets the worst record, that they'd be remembered. The players would be remembered, that it'd be on them. And he's continuing mandatory BP and running every single day. And that's something that rarely happens this time of the year. And a lot of the veterans were upset by this, tried to talk to him about it. And it's just a big, big mess is what I had reported over there. And then Shane had been able to confirm that with a source from inside the clubhouse. Not our show, inside the clubhouse.
Yeah, it was David Hall. I called up David. I was like, hey, you've heard this, right, dude?
So we've got that. And then Pedro was asked about it today over there in the dugout.
Oh, he sure was, Speaks.
I'm all interested. Right, here we go.
A report today that said you had a meeting out of the All-Star break where you basically told, paraphrasing, you told the players that if this was one of the worst seasons ever, it's on them. How would you?
It's on them?
Yeah. How would you kind of respond to that?
Anybody that knows me, has been around me for like the last year and a half here, knows that's not something I would say. you know, it doesn't really surprise me. You know, when you're not winning games, I think things come out that are not true. In this situation, I heard about it, but I haven't seen it, so I don't know the exact words. Again, that's something that would never come out of my mouth. I think, you know, my mentality and the way I look at things is we're all in this thing together. And I'm the first one to take blame for anything that happens on this team. I'm the manager, right? And I've done that since day one. I did it last year. I'll do it again this year. I don't hide away from blame. You know, blame is what it is. I got the position. That's the office. That's the chair. So I would never blame our players for this season. That's not my makeup. However, I did have a meeting with the players, and I said that, you know, the one thing we don't want to do as an organization, you know, is to go down in history as the worst record in baseball. And I think it's important for us to, you know, to approach the second half, with some urgency. And I think it's important for us to approach the second half with the mindset of really going out there and working hard, which I guess is something else I was mentioning that, you know, that I made it mandatory for guys to, you know, to have to go out and work. And I did do that, but there's always exceptions to the rule. And the exceptions were, if you're hurt, you know, just come talk to us and you don't have to go out there. If you need a day, come talk to us and you don't have to go out there. And when a team needs a day, let's talk about it together and we won't have to go out there. But, you know, if none of those apply, then we're out here working as a team together. So, it when I heard about it, it was kind of funny to me because it's just it's not something that's in my character and in my nature to ever say, especially knowing how I am and how I take blame and responsibility for anything that, you know, that happens on this team.
What the hell?
Oh, man. So he doesn't want
to... That's quite a denial where he acknowledges that the meeting happened and that he does ask the guys to work hard, and he did say that he doesn't want them to go down as the worst team in baseball history.
That's and it took like 2 minutes, too.
That's definitely innocent denial.
when someone innocent talks, they ramble for 2 minutes.
And he did mandate the running and did mandate the work. There are exceptions, and he went on to tell us about that.
Yeah, we can recap that real quick if you want.
Well, he kind of copped to the whole thing, except for the on you, not me part.
Right.
He didn't cop to that.
Well, I mean, you wouldn't cop to the most incriminating thing of the report, would you?
I mean,
you would just find the other ways to say, yeah, we had a conversation similar.
Yeah.
That definitely didn't happen, but we did have a meeting where we talked about that specifically, and then I did ask him to work a lot harder. But none of that happened.
I feel bad for that guy.
That's I like Pedro a lot, dude.
I got to tell you, and there is a world, you can see him saying, and that's going to be on you guys. You know, if you're the worst team in baseball, that's going to be on you guys. And then a minute later, he says, that's going to be on all of us, you know, and so players who we heard from and confirmed said, yeah, he said it was going to be on us. You know what I mean? There's a world.
We'll be remembered as the worst team.
Right. Yeah. So there does exist a scenario where he thinks he put it on himself and the players are like, I just heard him put that on us here, because you have to keep talking and you say a lot of words.
Oh. At no point over the course of this year has there been a reliever sleeping in the bullpen. We do have a player. A position player who has fairly serious sleep issues.
Like,
oh, man.
As a consumer, like, go through this exercise with me, please. Like, understand that if two of us are going to go forward with something, we're not talking to someone who just puts their ear to the clubhouse door.
I had that.
If we both have multiple.
Shane, I had this for what? I had this for a week.
It's
for a week, and then I would, like, yes. We're talking. It's like, well, could you follow up, please?
Yeah.
And that's how you do it. And it's like, oh.
My guy had it before the All-Star break, before it even happened.
Wow. Yeah, Tanny's got
it on it, though.
Well, that's how you get. That's how you get a Lissigore.
We could do a very funny denial draft.
We could.
Right.
We could do that. Yes, Monty Grandal.
You know what?
Yeah, no, I didn't do that.
Oh, we should. We should.
That's a very
that's
funny.
That's really good.
Recon denial. It's like, but we do have this.
We do have a guy who sleeps. We have. I didn't hear any of that. I heard a lot about some of it, but I didn't hear any of it from Mark Trestman.
Great denials in Chicago sports history.
I'm pretty sure that's why the Lord invented tomorrow.
it's
on the radio
show. Yeah, it's really good. Boylan had some good denials.
Oh, yeah, he did.
That was... man.
That was remarkable. Now, did I do that? Yes, I did that. A minute and a half.
You know, so we did have a meeting, and we talked about all that. But if you know my character, I would never say that.
God. It's okay, hard, man. Pedro. Talking twice a day as a baseball manager is hard. You got to be really, really good at it.
Especially when one of those times is talking after your team loses its 15th consecutive game.
Unbelievable. My favorite snippet, by the way, on the White Sox this year, my favorite little bit of fun math. Steve Greenberg did this in the Sun-Times. If you wiped out the 3-22 start to the season, okay?
Yeah.
And you also wiped out the 14-game losing streak they had in May and June, and you also wiped out the 15-game losing streak that they're in the middle of now, they'd still have a losing record.
Sounds about right.
27-30. I don't care how many L's we got, but it would still be 30 if you wipe out the 3-22 start and the two enormous losing streaks. That's amazing.
It's pretty great. What a season.
What a freaking season. What a dumpster fire. It's crazy. Why did MLB step in and take over the Expos? What was the major thing that they were embarrassed by and said, okay, we got to step in and do this? And how far are the White Sox from that? I mean, my God. It'll never happen because of the Reinsdorf respect. But boy, you can see it from here.
And Eloy is an Oriole.
Eloy is gone.
That's crazy too, man. Can't believe they got something for him.
First of all, let's apologize to the city of Baltimore. I'm so sorry.
Dude, it was nothing.
You're going to have a hard time.
They gave him a low-level prospect.
Yeah, I mean, if he's bad or hurt, they just won't play him, and they'll still be really good.
All right, who's more likely to play a meaningful role in a playoff game? Eloy Jimenez of the Orioles or Michael Kopech of the Dodgers? Who's more likely to be useful in a win? In a playoff game.
Oh, the win. Take that out of it, yeah. When you say impactful, I'm like, oh, yeah. Kopech giving up a lead in the sixth inning. Yeah.
You know what I mean? To be good. Like, yeah. I mean, that's a big-time arm. I could see him.
I mean, it's more likely that a pitcher gets into a game, gets three outs, and they win than Eloy gets in at bat and is super productive.
I wonder if Eloy – could you see Eloy getting a DH start against a lefty?
Could you see Eloy being super productive?
No.
I can't.
No, but...
A pinch hit spot against a lefty.
Pinch hit home run for Eloy in the playoffs. Michael Kopech with a sixth inning hold when Kershaw can only go five.
Oh, that's when Eloy shines, when he's even less prepared and ready. Come on. You guys are too smart to think that Eloy is going to shine anywhere.
My answer is Kopech.
Mine too.
Okay. Yeah. What's the injury between now and the playoffs for Eloy Jimenez on the Orioles?
Definitely. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say broken heart. He's farther away from his mom.
Oh, it's sad.
He's definitely going to hurt himself in a divisional celebration.
not soft tissue running to first?
No, because he can't get there.
I think he's going to jump up against that warehouse across the right field wall. I can't believe he jumped into the warehouse.
Can he get some kind of injury while eating crab?
Yes,
or something?
Exactly. Choking on crab.
Or like an allergy to Old Bay. Shellfish. Yeah.
Oh, that's it.
Too much Old Bay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Eloy's going to have to sit tonight.
He's allergic to Old Bay, and we didn't know it.
Eloy ran into Boog Powell. He wasn't happy.
Thank you to Chris Emma for joining us on the show today. Jed Hoyer tomorrow at 4. Nico Horner was on the show as well. Connor O'Donnell, Kevin Lapka, Twitch chat, video stream. Thank you, sir. Shane Reardon, our executive producer. Thank you, sir. Chris Tannehill making us sound better than we are each and every day. Cubs baseball follows us. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. This is Parkins and Spiegel, The Score.
Hard Knocks.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.